Haydn's last years were filled with accolades. His legacy was enormous. 108 symphonies, 68 string quartets, 60 piano sonatas, 25 operas, of which 15 survive, and 4 oratorios. In his symphonies, Haydn gave form to what would be called the classical style, to be reshaped and fulfilled by Mozart, Beethoven, and others. His triumph, the 12 Solomon symphonies that he wrote for London, showed a new range of orchestration, new uses for trumpets, timpani, clarinets, cellos, and woodwinds. The career of Haydn, the last fine fruit of the community of princely patronage, offered stark contrast to that of his successor in creating the classical style. Haydn did not attain fame and fortune until he was nearly 40. Mozart's talents were exploited and displayed across Europe when he was 6. Haydn spent most of his life under comfortable patronage. Mozart never ceased searching for a patron, yet they collaborated in shaping the symphony and its new orchestral resources into a classical style. Competent violinist and author of a famous treatise on violin playing, Leopold Mozart was expert enough to discern the genius of his son, yet shrewd and self-effacing enough to spend himself cultivating his son's genius. His domineering nature would painfully inhibit Wolfgang's personality, but would nurture his talent and sense of mission. After Wolfgang's first public appearance at Salzburg University in 1762, his father began a ceaseless round of tours, showing off the boy and his talented but less precocious sister, Nannerl, 5 years his senior. Between the ages of 6 and 15, Wolfgang was on tour more than half the time, impressing audiences by virtuoso performances on the keyboard instruments, on the organ, on the violin, playing on sight, and improvising variations, fugues, and fantasias. Most astonishing was Wolfgang's ability to write music at an age when others had only begun to read it. At 6, he had composed minuets. Before his 9th birthday, his first symphony. At 11, his first oratorio, and at 12, his first opera. These contributed to the more than 600 compositions eventually catalogued in 1862 and numbered by an Austrian scholar, Ludwig von Kochel, who christened each with a K number. His tours introduced him to the range of music composed and heard across Europe when there were distinctive Italian and German styles. Mozart would be able to combine the lightness of Italian vocal music and opera buffa and the seriousness of German instrumental music, sonata, and symphony. After the tours, commissions came in. Music for the marriage of Archduke Ferdinand in Milan and for the enthronement of Hieronymus Colloredo as Archbishop of Salzburg. But this new archbishop was less tolerant of his concertmaster Leopold's absences to tour with his son. In Salzburg, in a few months in 1772, the 16-year-old Mozart composed 8 symphonies, 4 divertimentos, and some sacred works. He was appointed an honorary concertmaster, but the archbishop made unreasonable demands. In Salzburg, from 1774 to 1781, Wolfgang ceaselessly composed while both Mozarts sought refuge anywhere else from the tyrannical archbishop. Despite his growing fame and multiplying commissions, Mozart never became rich. He remained improvident and extravagant, lived hand to mouth, and never in relaxed comfort. In 1781, Mozart quit the service of the archbishop. That year, too, he met Haydn. Mozart's estrangement from the Archbishop of Salzburg left him living on the income from his performances or sale of his music. This was risky, and no major composer since Handel had ventured it. At long last, and after a strenuous pursuit in 1787, Emperor Joseph II engaged Mozart as chamber composer. In these last years, being otherwise occupied, Mozart composed few symphonies, but the 3 he produced in the summer of 1788, the symphonies in E-flat, G-minor, and C, were unexcelled in symphonic brilliance and in new uses of the orchestra. In Vienna, finally, from age 30 to 36, Mozart produced some of his most durable music on the flightiest themes and showed his ability to respond to passing tastes. Le Nozze di Figaro, Don Giovanni, and Così fan tutti were based on comic librettos by Lorenzo da Ponte, a man of many talents. In 1791, Mozart adopted a plot supplied by an old Salzburg acquaintance for Die Zauberflöte. In July 1791, a stranger came to Mozart and commissioned a requiem. The fee was large, and the only condition was that the transaction never be revealed. The ailing and hypochondriac Mozart wondered whether this request was an omen of his own funeral. The requiem remained unfinished at Mozart's death on December 5, 1791. His wife, Constance, gave the manuscript to be completed by Mozart's friends, Franz Xaver Süssmayr, who delivered it to the stranger as a finished work by Mozart. The stranger, the perverse Count Franz von Walsegg-Stupach, then had it performed as a work of his own, which made it a double forgery. Mozart had for some time had the notion that he was being poisoned by his relentless rival Antonio Salieri, but this proved quite groundless, and Salieri himself took the trouble on his deathbed to make an official denial. Mozart seems to have died of several recurring ailments, aggravated by overwork and malnutrition. "I have finished before I could enjoy my talent," Mozart declared at 36. According to Viennese custom, he was buried, unceremoniously, in a mass grave in a churchyard outside the city. New worlds for the orchestra. Beethoven, who inherited the forms of classical music from Haydn and Mozart, elaborated them in his own way for wider audiences. More than an elaborator of musical forms, Beethoven opened the gates. Nothing could have been more ironic than Beethoven's role as prophet and exemplar of a new European community of music, for there had never been a composer more isolated from his audience by the deafness that prevented his hearing, except in his mind's ear, what the audience would hear, and by an irascible temperament that aroused enemies and tested friends. The lifetime of Beethoven, the era of the American and the French Revolution, saw the rise of popular government. Haydn and Mozart opened a European concert world where language was no barrier. Haydn in his London triumph, Mozart with his international travels as a prodigy. But the grand gesture of public music, which transcended the community of music lovers, was to be the work of Beethoven. Beethoven's conspicuous and enduring triumphs were with the orchestra and the symphony in the new world of instruments. Beethoven used the entire orchestra of strings and woodwinds to state his theme. This style already appeared in his first symphony and was demonstrated in the familiar opening theme of the Fifth Symphony and the Adagio movement of the Ninth Symphony. He reached beyond the concert hall, too, when he wrote music on themes outside the world of music. Program or illustrative music developed in Europe about 1700, when instrumental music, borrowing the techniques of vocal music, was becoming a distinct, respectable art. In this, too, Beethoven was a prophet and pioneer. Not until 1881 did the expression program music enter our English language for music intended to convey the impression of a definite series of objects, scenes, or events. Descriptive music. The prototype of program music was Beethoven's Sixth Symphony in F major. He described it in the advertisement for its first concert on December 22, 1808, as a recollection of country life. For each of the five movements, he provided an explanatory inscription. 1. Awakening of cheerful feelings on arrival in the country. 2. Scene by the brook. 3. Merrymaking of the country folk. 4. Storm. 5. Song of the shepherds, joy and gratitude after the storm. Beethoven unified the stages of feeling into a coherent music drama. Beethoven was the first of the great musicians to be a public man, an advocate through his music on the issues of his time. Bonn, where he was born and raised, was a center of sympathy for the French Revolution. Beethoven's background hardly suggests the revolutionary role that he would play in Western music. Born to a family of musicians, Beethoven was well set for a conventional career. At 12, he was named a court organist, and at 13, continuo player to the Bonn Opera. At 15, he was sent to Vienna to study with Mozart, who's supposed to have said that this young man would make a great name for himself. After only 2 months, his mother's death brought him back to Bonn, where he began to make his way, helped by influential aristocratic friends. Count Ferdinand von Waldstein, a Viennese patron of music, was impressed by young Beethoven and commissioned him to write a piece for ballet. Waldstein offered this over his own name and then secured a number of other commissions for Beethoven. In November 1792, Beethoven left Bonn for Vienna, never to return. the forces of Napoleon were approaching the city. All his life, Beethoven would be caught in the maelstrom of revolution and counter-revolution in the age of Robespierre and Metternich. In convivial Vienna, Beethoven quickly became a social success, which was not irrelevant to his musical career. His musical talents were developing in these next 7 years, which were relatively carefree, for he did not yet feel the threat of deafness. In Vienna, Beethoven enjoyed applause as a virtuoso pianist and improviser, and he toured in Germany and Hungary. About 1798, at the maturing of his powers as a composer, Beethoven, not yet 30, began to be troubled by the ringing in his ears, the first hints of the affliction that would dominate his life. Perhaps originating in an attack of typhus or another dangerous illness about 1798, the deafness became increasingly troublesome. Yet, as Beethoven's deafness worsened, so his talents grew, and his performance became more magnificent. Increasing deafness, which made it impossible for him to perform as a virtuoso pianist or a conductor, forced him back into himself. Perhaps this focused his talent to compose his great works. After about 1801, when his deafness had become serious, he had to find ways other than performing to support himself. For most of his productive life, his earnings came from selling his original music, either for publication or for performance by others. To non-musicians, Beethoven's achievement, despite his deafness, seems miraculous. But musicians assure us that a composer must be able to hear his music in the mind's ear. Critics divide his work into three periods: imitation, externalization, and reflection. In his first period, from his move to Vienna until about 1802, he elaborated the classical tradition of Haydn and Mozart and produced some of his most durable sonatas, including the Pathétique, the quartets of Opus 18, and his first two symphonies. His second period began to fulfill his distinctive talent, from the third through the eighth symphonies, his own opera, Fidelio, and the Leonore overtures. In the full flood of his years of fame after 1815, he produced fewer works. All were the product of long labor, and some had the greatest subtlety and grandeur, such as his last five piano sonatas, the Missa Solemnis, the Diaboli Variations, and the Ninth Symphony. At his death in 1827, he seems to have been planning a Tenth Symphony. Credited with many innovations, Beethoven became the prophet of the Romantic movement in Western music, and was so described by E.T.A. Hoffmann, the pioneer of German Romantic literature. Beethoven's music, he wrote, sets in motion the lever of fear, of awe, of horror, of suffering, and awakens just that infinite longing which is the essence of Romanticism. With that longing, Beethoven, the hero composer, created classical music for an audience far outside the concert hall. His concerns were as public as those of a statesman. The orchestra, the new instrument of instruments, had the power to transcend the world of words, and so could liberate instrumental music from dependence on vocal style. Beethoven would be adopted as the hero of new worlds of instrumental music. Beethoven's great achievement was his invigoration of instrumental music and his discovery of new possibilities in the orchestra. But his choral symphony was a manifesto of new powers of musical creation still to come. While a choral symphony was not unprecedented, there was no such major work before his. Beethoven's bold marriage of words and instruments foreshadowed grand new forms, marrying voice and orchestra to create new nations.